Aren't these beautiful? Yeah, now I know a lot of people like to press dried flowers, but I mean, who would go to the store and purchase these, right? So, yeah, a few of you raised your hands. Most of you don't seem to like flowers. I don't know what your problem is, but God gave us these beautiful things to look at. And which ones do you like better? I see everyone's pointing the fresh ones. Whoever said that, you could preach this message for me, because that's where we're going, right? Fresh. Yes. Yeah, so you wouldn't choose these over these? No? You're looking at me like I have 10 heads here. Well, these used to be fresh. A couple weeks ago, they looked beautiful, right? I grew these myself. Thank you very much. I did not grow these. All right. Who would like to have these flowers? Gloria? Yeah, a little late birthday present. There you go. Yes, now maybe you didn't admit it earlier, but I cannot imagine anyone here. Wow, really upset you didn't get the flowers, right? Can't imagine anyone not liking fresh flowers. And yes, it's true that these flowers a week or two ago, they were fresh, they were vibrant, they were colorful, they were beautiful, but not so much anymore. You know, maybe you're here today, and I'll tell you this, we got a little shorter message today, so you have an opportunity to respond what the Holy Spirit might want to speak to you. And I believe the Holy Spirit does want to speak to some today. Maybe there was a time in your life that God was doing great things. It was fresh, it was new, it was vibrant, it was powerful, it was awesome. But maybe that move of the Holy Spirit in your life has dried up a little bit, and it's not as bright and fresh and vibrant. We're talking about, and this is actually going to be a two-part message, today and next Sunday, fresh wind, fresh fire. Now, when you hear about or read about wind and fire in Scripture, there are metaphors of tangible things that we can see and sense, we can feel, that represent the presence of God. The presence of wind. Wind is refreshing, and we know that fire on this earth is it's hot. It can be purifying. And these are metaphors of the presence of God. And we see God is in the wind at times, isn't He? And that God is in the fire to be present and alive and active in our lives. And maybe you had a fresh experience with God some time ago, but the wind has blown and the flame has flickered and the passion has cooled a little bit with the fire of God in your life. And today and next Sunday is about a fresh wind and a fresh fire. As you just illustrated for me, you didn't know you was going to be a sermon illustration today, but when I ask which ones you like better, everyone's going like this. You know, the fresh ones on this side. Right? See, we like fresh things, right? Fresh flowers. How about fresh fruit? If I had a nice, beautiful, bright banana, well, let's switch sides. In this hand, and a mushy with brown spots all over in this hand, which one would you choose? The fresh, unless you're making banana bread, but we're not talking about banana bread. We're talking about bananas, right? You choose the. How about fresh clothing? Who likes to shop for new clothes? Or you at least like to wash the clothes you have. We like it when you wash the clothes you have, right? Fresh, and even some laundry or fabric softener companies. You know what are their names? Like April Fresh, Mountain Fresh, Spring Fresh for the clothing, and you like the feel of that. Have you ever had to put on clothes that you've worn 2 or 3 days and got hot and sweaty and dirty in? Would you rather put those back on or like some clean, fresh clothing, right? So we like fresh things, don't we? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin with the first 4 verses today in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled, say filled, with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm still detecting a little bit of an echo. I don't know if you can hear it out there, but if you have the means to help, that would be great. If not, that's all right too. Okay. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm just increasingly aware of how much I need you, we need you. And I pray for your Spirit to come down upon us today in a fresh way. And Lord, as we give time and attention to respond to your word, I pray today that with the help of your Spirit, we would have receivable hearts to receive the word of the Lord and to respond to it. That with the help and the power of your Spirit, you would create a hunger in us, God, to want anything and everything that you make available to us. In Jesus' name, speak to our hearts and change our lives. Amen. A few weeks ago, on the Sunday that I left with my family for California to go out to General Council and for some time away, God's word to us was one desire, and it talked about God's one desire is you, is me, and what our one desire in life should be, and it should be to reciprocate that back to Him. And we talked about, in addition to God's one desire, how we live in a fever-pitched world. I bet you've noticed, haven't you? We live in a fever-pitched world. We're not too far removed from the events down in Charlottesville. And see, what we know is that the enemy has been trying to accomplish his purposes on this earth for a long time, hasn't he? Charlottesville is not Satan's first attempt at his work and purpose on earth, and it will not be his last. Have you read the Bible? He's been at these things all the way since Genesis. Remember the garden. So whether it's about a tree and life and knowledge or racism or class or whatever, Charlottesville wasn't first. Charlottesville wasn't last. These are satanic attempts to fulfill his purposes on this planet. And he uses people to do that. But God uses people to fulfill his purposes on this planet. And that's why the church, in such a time as this, should rise up. We talked about how we live in a fever-pitched world, yet you and I need to stay focused. We need to stay focused and not be distracted by the things the enemy throws our way, but allow that to be used as an impetus of how we can rise up to be used of God to accomplish his purposes in and through us in this world. How we need to stay focused and live with forever in mind. Now, a few weeks ago, we started back in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus was giving instructions to his disciples on what they needed to do in order to receive the gift that was promised by the Father. Now, in Christ's instructions to wait for the gift, we find the promise of power. Amen? We like power, don't we? So in these instructions, we we find the promise of power. Now, as we move into Acts chapter 2, we see the disciples' obedience to Jesus' instruction. And with that, we see the potential on earth when we have a power from heaven. And I'll declare to you today, beloved, we need a power from heaven on this earth today. And Acts shows us the potential on earth with power from heaven. Today, let's look at the pouring of power. God does have a power, and He loves to pour His power out upon His people. Whether you and I recognize it or not, He knows we need His power alive and active in our lives. But first, let us understand what Pentecost was and is. Maybe you've heard me comment before. Pentecost simply means 50th. You know, like 50, 50. That's what Pentecost means, 50 or 50th. Why? Because Pentecost was the second great festival of the Jewish year. If you follow the Jewish calendar at all, there's times, any calendar really, there's times that every nation, every culture has these big celebrations, festivities. Well, on the Hebrew calendar, Pentecost was the second great festival of the Jewish year. It was a harvest festival. What's called Pentecost because it was 50 days after Passover. That's why the 50th comes into play. So their first big celebration in the Hebrew calendar year is Passover, where they celebrate God's delivering them from slavery in Egypt. Well, you go through 50 days after that. What were they doing? Well, they were doing exactly what we read and learn about all the way back in Leviticus chapter 23. We see the instructions of Pentecost. What was that? It was the bringing of the first fruits. Oh, what do you see a picture of there? Tithing. Right? So bringing the first fruits of the grain harvest to the house of the Lord, and it was a big celebration. So here the first fruits of the grain harvest were being, and they were being presented to God. If you didn't know that, that's your homework assignment this week. Read Leviticus chapter 23. Now here we are today, and in like manner today, Pentecost symbolizes for the church the beginning of God's harvest for souls in the world that you and I are living in. So let's talk about this pouring of power. We just read about it. The promise came. God poured out His Spirit. They were all together, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. So in verse 1, we just read it a moment ago, they were all together in one place. Can I declare to you today that you and I need to be together in unity? All right? The hope of the world, you hear me say often, is the local church, as I quote that from Bill Hybels. And you look at the world today, and I look at all of the nationalities, the ethnicities, the races, the skin colors here. With all that's going in the world today, can we not be a model of what God can do? Can we not be a model of hope and restoration and the plan of God on the planet Earth? And I believe we have a great opportunity to rise up and to be used in that capacity. They were all together in one place. Today, we need to be together in unity with His will. We need to be together in unity with each other. We need to be together in unity with His Holy Spirit. We need to be together in unity in His power. And oh, I can tell you, unity is not about a place in a building. But unity is about purpose of heart. You ever been to an annual business meeting? You got a lot of people in one room. Just because you got different people in one room doesn't mean there's unity. What about in your home? Is there the unity that you can have in your home with between husband and wife? How to handle cash flow? How to discipline children? Where are you going to spend holidays? What are you going to do in this? What are you going to do with that? Just because you're together in one place doesn't mean you're in unity. So unity is a lot more about being in one place in a building, but a unity of purpose, a unity and the purpose of heart. Listen to this prayer that Jesus prayed, really for us. Jesus prayed a prayer to this effect. It's recorded in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Here was His prayer as he talked to and prayed to the Heavenly Father. He says, "I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in Me through their word." Well, that would include in us. The word has come down through the generations, and we believe. "But for those also who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one. even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us. That the world may believe that you did send me. And the glory with which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one. Just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and did love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you did love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not yet known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you that you did send me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith you did love me may be in them, and I in them. Wow, what a prayer for unity. What a prayer that Jesus would pray for us. You have an opportunity to be involved in answering a prayer from Jesus about you. That we would be in unity. See, all of your prayer life, you've just been thinking how God can answer your prayers. Have you ever thought about you have an opportunity to be involved in answering one of His? And that is that we would be in such unity that it would match the unity that He has with the Father. Now, would you say that's a unified unit? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And isn't it amazing He prayed that you and I could be involved to embrace that same kind of unity and engage in that same kind of unity as the church of Jesus Christ today? Isn't that incredible? Now back to Acts in chapter 2, verse 2. Not only were they together in one place, it says, and suddenly... See, what was going on with this suddenly? Remember, days earlier, Jesus said, stay here. Now, they wanted to scatter. We've talked about that because of the persecution, and Jerusalem was a very unsettled place, and all of the accusations flying around. It's probably a day a lot like today between the Romans and the Zionists and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of these. It was a day like today where there's a lot of people yelling, but not many listening. Right? And it was a very, very tense place, and they wanted to scatter because of the persecution being so intense. But Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. What I'm trying to get at here is where it is, suddenlies don't just happen suddenly out of nowhere. You see, it was their obedience and their waiting for 10 days in an upper room, fasting and praying, that prepared them for a suddenly. 10 days may seem like a long time. Now, no air conditioning. And imagine if we were all in this room, 120 of us, on a hot summer day with no air conditioning and clothes that may not be April fresh, fasting and praying. You see, they prepared themselves for a suddenly. How'd they do it? With obedience to the instructions of Jesus. How did they do it? With perseverance. They didn't give up. Now, 10 days may seem like a long time in the context, in that environment, to just fast and pray. I don't know about you, sometimes I struggle fasting for 10 minutes. Right? Especially if I'm driving by a Five Guys. Right, there's a new Chick-fil-A coming to my neighborhood. I'm going to fast before they open. Right? Get in there and get a chicken sandwich and some waffle fries and that special dip. Couldn't you just drink that stuff? Hook it up intravenously. I don't know what's in it. It can't be legal, I'm sure. It's just too good, right? But here they are. They're fasting and praying 10 days. And they didn't give out, they didn't know what the promise of the Father was, but they know it hadn't showed up yet. But then suddenly, there it was. Now, 10 days may seem like a long time, but God's timing is always, always perfect. And many times in Scripture, yes, God shows up suddenly, but He never shows up out of nowhere. Never. Sometimes He shows up suddenly out of man's sin and disobedience. You read through the Scriptures, and time again, God's saying, hey, you were once here, but you have moved. I have not changed. You have changed. You were once living in righteousness, but now you're choosing unrighteousness. And if you don't stop it, calamity's going to fall upon you. It could be famine. I could send an enemy army. You're going to be destroyed by the sword. But if you'll come back to me, if you'll follow my ways again, if you'll listen to what I had to say, I'll forego all of that and we'll reunite in our relationship. But how many times did Israel not do that? And because of their sin, because of their disobedience, God had to show up with judgment. It seemed suddenly when the Babylonians attacked, but it was years of disobedience and ignoring the instructions of God. See, God may show up suddenly, but He never shows up out of nowhere for no reason. Sometimes He shows up out of holiness. He honors holiness. Sometimes He shows up out of righteousness because you've made decisions of righteousness. Because Israel or a man or a woman walked righteous before the Lord, He showed up and did the miraculous, didn't He? Sometimes He shows up out of prayer. Sometimes He shows up out of obedience. Sometimes He shows up suddenly when we're faithfulness, but never out of nowhere for no reason. And I think of a story like this and the suddenlies that we see in Scripture, and I've got to wonder how many untold suddenlies there are due to giving up too soon. Imagine if on the seventh day, people in the upper rooms, I can't take the smell anymore, God must be deaf, I'm out of here. What if on day eight or day nine, they decided, you know what, this just doesn't seem to be working, and they left the upper room and they stopped fasting and they stopped praying. Would we have an Acts chapter 2 today? But because they pressed on and they stayed obedient and faithful, they got this suddenly that showed up from that we read about in Acts chapter 2. And what's the next line? There came from heaven. Oh, let me say it again today, church. We need something from heaven in our world today. If the things on this earth and of this earth were sufficient for mankind, we wouldn't be where we are in the world today. We wouldn't see this nonsense that's going on with this demonstration and that demonstration and mankind killing themselves and destroying themselves. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed man's solutions are increasingly futile. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I see that mere religion is increasingly empty and it's dead. And some churches today have become impotent and irrelevant in this world. We need something from heaven. I don't care what news network you prefer to watch. You got a gazillion experts. Is it just me or but the more experts we have, the more problems we have? Just a slight, you know, that observation there. I'm sorry to be inflicted with such the disease of the obvious, maybe, but and what happens is we think we're good. We can turn a blind eye and think that things are good, but let me ask you, by whose standard? By whose standard do we determine what is good, what is not good? And we become desensitized to a lot of things in the world, and we live in our own little bubble in our world. But can I remind you today that when we are comfortable, Satan is comfortable? Can I encourage us today, maybe as Christ followers, to be a remnant of God that lives a little unsettled, maybe a lot unsettled? It's the unsettled people of God that make a difference in the world. See, David was just showing up with lunch one day for his brothers. Dad says, hey, David, take something to eat for your brothers. And he sees what's going on between the Israelites and the Philistines, and what 40 days Scripture teaches us is they go out and just kind of have a staring match. And David's like, what is this? Who is this guy to defy? What was he doing? He was like, this unsettles me. I'm unsettled about this guy. I'm unsettled about what's going on here. I'm going to do something about it. Hear me today. We need to live a little more unsettled as the people of God in a world that is drowning in the attacks of the enemy, and have it be a part of the remnant of God that raises up and does something about it. Are you unsettled, or are you too comfortable? I can tell you, when we're comfortable, the devil's comfortable. Let's live unsettled. Let's not get stuck. Let's not be a stagnant church. Hear me today, beloved. We need to be pressing upward to see how God would move us onward today. Now, we read here in a couple of places. In verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. Say that with me. Filled the whole house. Did what? Filled what? The whole house. We see it again just two verses later. Verse 4. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were what? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got good news for you today. God loves to fill His house. God loves to fill His house. 1 Kings chapter 8. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14. The Lord filled the temple of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Isaiah chapter 6, the train of the Lord's robe and smoke, what did they do? Filled the temple. Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, and the cloud or the glory of the Lord filled the inner court. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 5, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now we transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. And here we are in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. And we see that when Jesus gave up His Spirit on the cross, that the veil in the temple tore from top to bottom, didn't it? You know what that means? That means that man now has direct access into the presence of God. Direct access to the wind of God. Direct access to the fire of God. We now have direct access into the presence of God. We have direct access into the fullness of God. We have direct access into the power of God. In the upper room, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, what do we see? We see the transfer of what the Spirit fills. He went from filling the sanctuary of the temple building to filling the sanctuary of the human heart and soul. There was a transfer at what the presence of God fills. There was a transfer at what the power of God fills. There was a transfer at what the Spirit of God fills. There was a transfer of what the glory of God fills from a man-made structure to a God-created being. The human heart. The human soul. Now, verse 4 goes on to say that they began to speak with other tongues. You see, the work and power of the Holy Spirit that was once only beheld can now be withheld. In other words, held within. It's a gift that's in us. It's a power that's in us. It's His Spirit in us. And the work and the power of the Spirit that was once only beheld can now be withheld. Look at verses 5 through 12 here with me. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring, you got that? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? So what's going on here? What at one point, what you could only behold, now you've got this group of people withholding. It's the presence, the power, the gift of God, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And others are taking notice, aren't they? Hear me today. When the Spirit of God is at work within us, it's going to cause others to recognize and speak of what? The mighty deeds of God at work in our midst. And why did we pray for the teachers earlier? Because they were the 120 was in a tense environment that day. Our teachers go into tense environments in the day that we live in now. But God can perform His mighty works, His deeds, and His wonders in and through them, no matter what the environment is, and other people will take notice of it. We need more spirit-filled people like that in the world today. Amen. It was a good choice or a good place to say amen, but you fell asleep and you missed it. Right? Causes others to recognize and speak of the mighty deeds of God when His Spirit is at work in our hearts and in our midst. And beloved, just as on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit and the power of God still transcends every language. And just as on the day of Pentecost today, the Spirit of God and the power of God still transcends every nation. And it still transcends every race. And still transcends every ethnicity. And it still transcends every belief system. And it still transcends every religion. It still transcends every culture. It still transcends every perception. It still transcends every misconception. And it still speaks of the wonders of God in our hearts and in our lives today. But look here, not everyone sees it, do they? Verse 13 goes on to say, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Now, I don't know how you get a move of the Spirit confused with drunkenness, but some did. And some translations even use the word mock. So some mock them here, as it said, however, they made fun of them in the NIV. Now, listen, the mockers and the God is dead theories, they come and go. But the unchanging truth of Jesus Christ has stood strong and victorious for over 2,000 years. So to all of those that might make fun of you and mock you because of your faith in the workplace and your family, your friends, whoever, to the Christians, I would say get used to it. We're living in a day we're going to see it more. So to the Christians, get used to it. To the doubters, I would say get over it. And to the mockers, I would say, get in line. The people mocking you aren't the first of those to mock Christians, and they're not going to be the last. It's been going on since the very beginning day that there were Christians. Are you going to rise up with boldness and not be influenced by that? Is the Spirit of God in you going to be more powerful than the mockery of a non-believer? So once again, I would say to the Christians, get used to it. To the doubters, get over it, and to the mockers, get in line. Here's the deal. God has poured out His Spirit, and He's poured out His power, and it is available to you and to me today. Did you hear me? Some of you fell back to sleep. God has poured out His power, and it is available to us today. Some of you are still asleep. God has poured out His power, and it is still available to us today. Good afternoon, sunshine. You woke up. Glad you believe that. Would you stand with me today? It was shorter, but I still went longer than I intended, because I want to give you a chance to receive the Word of God today. I want to give you a chance to receive what the Lord has for you. Let me ask you. You need a fresh touch from heaven today. Maybe the Word of God, the work of God in His Spirit was as once bright and vibrant as the flowers that I gave Gloria. Or maybe the work and the power of the Holy Spirit looks a little more like these flowers today. You need a fresh touch from heaven. A fresh outpouring of heaven. If you want to define the presence of God as wind and fire, maybe there was a day that the wind of God was blowing mightily in your life. The fire of God was burning hot and brightly, but the flame has flickered. And the passion has cooled in your life. You need a fresh wind from heaven today. You need a fresh fire from heaven today. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christ follower. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make the grace and the love and the work that Jesus did for you real to you, and you need to receive Christ into your life for salvation. Maybe you've been seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you want the experience like these believers had that we read in Acts chapter 2, and the evidence of that, of speaking in a language that you never learned as the Holy Spirit enables you. Maybe you're here today and you're tired, you're worn out. You just want God to pour His power over you. I'm going to ask you right now, is if the Word of God has spoken to you and you just hunger for a fresh wind, a fresh fire to be poured over you, would you come and find a place at this altar? And by coming, all you're saying is, God, I'm hungry. And I was once fresh and bright and vibrant, but I've dried up a little today. I'm a little dried up, God. Doubt has dried me up. Fear has dried me up. But today, by coming to the altar, I'm saying I want a fresh wind to blow in my life. By coming today, you're saying I want a fresh fire from heaven to burn in my life. Come on, everyone. You want a fresh outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon your life. Would you please come? Would you trust that God's going to respond to that in your life? You want a fresh outpouring. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out today. Come and pray for a fresh wind. Come and pray for a fresh fire. Come and pray for a fresh outpouring in your life today. Now, if you don't need it personally, would you say, I want to be a part of a church where the wind and the fire of God is blowing fresh, where there's a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit? And if it, even not for the church, would you say, yes, I see our world needs a fresh outpouring. This nation needs a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. And I would say specifically, if you've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to pray for you personally. I'm going to ask you to come and stand in the middle. Come and pray today for a fresh wind and a fresh fire. And I would simply say this today. No spectators. Everybody participating. You want to see a fresh fire, a fresh wind. Come on. He's here today. He's here today. God wouldn't give us a word like this if it wasn't for today. You're coming to the altar saying, God, come on. Everybody in this place, whether you're at the altar or not, let's surrender our hearts before the Lord and say, God, I'm in receive mode today. Everyone praying, don't listen to me. You begin to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit today. Father, in the name of Jesus, a fresh fire in my heart and in my life today. Father, in the name of Jesus, a fresh wind blowing into my life, into my family, into the situation, all of the circumstances that make up my life and all of the things that I'm facing. Come on, everyone. Let's cry out to God. Let's all be in an attitude of prayer. We still have several or a few minutes left. Come on, let's cry out to God together. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you pour your Spirit upon us as men, as women, as individuals, and as a church today, even as we read about in the book of Acts. Come on, church, let's cry out to God in this place today. Come on, everyone crying out to God. God, we need you. If you don't recognize your need for God and the world's need for God, pray that the Holy Spirit gives you that recognition, because we do. We are in desperate need of His Holy Spirit to be alive and powerful and active in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives, in our midst today. Fresh wind, fresh power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one more thing, especially if you're still at your seat. Just going to ask everyone for a moment of truth and honesty in this place today. You're here, and you would say there's something in your life you know you need the Holy Spirit to visit that situation. You need the Holy Spirit to visit you. You need the Holy Spirit to visit that person. You can't do it. It's bigger than you. How many, by raising your hand, would say, there is a situation in my life. I need God's Spirit to address this. Yeah. Come on, any more. I need the Holy Spirit of the living God to touch this situation, to visit this circumstance. I need God today. I'm going to ask us all, this is just a simple sign of surrender, to raise our hands in surrender and receive mode. And let's all pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus today, you see every hand, you know every heart, you're intricately familiar with every detail of every situation. And Lord, there are many today that are facing something. We need your Holy Spirit. We can't do it. There's not another man, there's not another woman that can do this, but God, you can. Your word says with God, nothing is impossible. And today we pray that the Spirit of God that is all powerful, perform what is possible with God. Impossible with man, yes. But possible with God also, yes. Hallelujah. Wind of God blow. Fire of God burn. Wind of God blow. Fire of God burn. We pray for a fresh outpouring. And for every need that is needed, where your Spirit is needed, God, speak, touch, perform the miraculous. God, you are great, and you do miracles so great. I pray that by the work and the power of your Holy Spirit, you would release the miracle-working power of the Spirit of God upon us today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Spirit to fill us. Thank you that you pour out your Spirit upon us and that it's just as real and powerful today, August 27, 2017, as when we read out of Acts chapter 2. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Could we just take a moment as a benediction time to turn our hearts and our focus into a time of praise? Let's just worship the Lord today. Let's thank Him for His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit today. God, I believe that for every heart that's hungry and willing to receive, you've done a miraculous thing in hearts and lives and situations in our lives today. Lord, I want to thank you for a fresh outpouring that you've given today. We are so grateful. We thank you. We praise you. If you're around this altar, I'd encourage you to stay and pray as long as you would like, or even in the sanctuary, stay and pray as long as you like. But don't leave until you know the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you today. If you want personal prayer, I'm willing to stay as long as you would like for personal prayer today. God bless you as you go in the Spirit. But don't rush. You don't need to rush from this place. The Holy Spirit's never in a hurry. Amen? And He will abide with you for as long as you want to pray and seek Him and worship Him. Praise God. Praise God. Shalom. Sitrakos.